Hey, freedom fighters, welcome to the Active Duty Passive Income Podcast, the only place where military members, veterans, and their families learn how to build wealth through real estate investing. I'm your host, Mike Foster, and I'm here to show you how to stop wasting your benefits. Now get off your ass, step up to the firing line, and make ready for today's lesson. Shooter standby.
When I first started in real estate investing, I was completely terrified of making that one huge mistake. In fact, I walked on eggshells, overanalyzed everything, and pretty much paralyzed myself for months, simply out of fear. Are these numbers okay? Will it cash flow? What if a tenant destroys my property? What if someone sues me and takes all my stuff? I knew real estate was my path to financial independence, but I was saddled with a pretty bad case of the what-ifs. Turns out what I really needed was a mentor to guide me, someone to bounce ideas off of, double-check my numbers, help me build my local team, and provide me sound and sage advice when I felt stuck. Introducing ADPI's Operation Atom, the Action Takers Only Mastermind. For less than $15 a month, you'll get access to a private network of fellow action takers kicking ass in real estate, plus exclusive 24/7 coaching from both me and Mike Foster. You'll also receive programmed accountability through ADPI's 30-Day Hero Facebook Live Challenge, hours of bonus content, including Coffee with Kevin training seminars, weekly live Q&As broadcast direct to you, free webinar replay, and unlimited access to our new house hacking calculator. You better act fast, y'all, because if you purchase ADPI's flagship 37-lesson Military Real Estate Investing Academy today, you'll get 1 month of Operation Atom free. Still feeling stuck? Kick your fears to the curb and join the movement of action takers now. Check out the link in this episode's show notes or text DEAL to 33777 to get started. All right, y'all, that's enough chatter for now. Let's get fired up for today's episode.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Welcome to the Active Duty Passive Income Podcast. I have an awesome guest for you guys lined up today. His name is Rich Carey, and he is an investor from Montgomery, Alabama. What's going on, Rich?
Hey, Mike, how you doing? Thanks for having me on. It's awesome to see you again.
Yeah, it's great to see you too, man. We met at Rod Khalif's multifamily bootcamp, and it was an amazing time. If you guys haven't gone to one of those, you need to go to those because you get to meet awesome people like Rich. But I cannot wait to get his story out there because he's got an amazing story, guys, and you're going to want to hear it. So, Rich, what's going on, man? You want to tell us a little bit about how you got started investing and your background?
Sure, yeah. So it's kind of interesting. We met at Rod Khalif's event. I've been investing in real estate since 2003 when I bought my first townhouse. That was actually the first time I've ever been able to attend a real estate event before, which I think is pretty interesting. And the main reason for that is that I've spent most of my career overseas. You know, I was, 5 years in Japan, 3 years in Europe, 2 years in Korea, 2 years in Guam. So tons of time overseas. But kind of my situation in a nutshell, just for the all the listeners out there, I came into the military. I'm in the Air Force. I came in 2000, and always been excited about real estate my whole life. Just knew I needed to do something with it. You know, there weren't podcasts, right? I didn't know the right books to read back then. I didn't really have any information or mentors, but knew I wanted to buy real estate. First duty station was Guam. There were lots of earthquakes and typhoons there. So I decided not to buy anything. It turned out being a good thing because I went through a couple of Cat 4 and Cat 5 hurricanes. Ooh. One which wiped out my entire apartment and everything in it. Good thing I had USAA renters insurance. 2003, moved to DC. Me and my wife were excited. We bought a townhouse. We bought it for $280,000. I thought it would probably be the worst decision of my life because I thought it was the top of the market. I thought I was horribly overpaying. I was totally wrong, right? About a year and a half later, it was worth $450. But wow. we'll get more into that later and kind of how that ended up working out for me. But that turned into a rental, right? We're in the military, and I think we'll talk about this a lot today. I moved away and turned that into a rental property.
Nice.
I rented out for $2,300 a month. And that was my introduction to real estate. I got excited. I wanted to do more. I tried to buy more properties. It was kind of the top of the market. So that ended up being difficult. To fast forward, eventually 2013, I end up in Montgomery, Alabama for Air Command and Staff College. It's just a 10-month school. Wasn't excited about coming here. I'm here now, actually. I just moved back after being gone for 5 years. But I wasn't excited about being in Montgomery, Alabama, and certainly didn't consider doing real estate. Ran into another military member here. And on the first day of class, we were all introducing ourselves to each other. And he just kind of casually mentioned, yeah, my name's so-and-so, and I've been here a few years already, so I'm not like most of you who just showed up. But since I've been here, I've bought like several houses, and I'm just like killing it in real estate. And at this rate, I'll be able to retire like anytime now.
Outstanding.
Right? And he said that. And
I'm glad
everybody
he said
else,
that on an intro.
everybody else could have cared less.
Right.
And I was like, what did that guy just say? Yes. Like, I was staring right at him like, oh my gosh, what did he say? I didn't hear anything that anybody else said for the next hour.
Right.
On the next break, I ran over to him. We had a nice long chat. You know, I asked him 50 questions, kind of like, what's going on? What kind of houses are you buying? How much do they cost? What do they rent out for? I realized that he was making way more money than I was in Washington, D.C. with my townhouse that I was renting out. Long story short, can I do what you're doing? Yes. Will you help me? Yes. I bought 6 houses in the 10 months that I was there, went overseas for the next 5 years. And I think in the course of the next following two to three years that I was gone, I bought 14 more houses from overseas here in Montgomery, Alabama.
Dang.
To kind of add to the craziness of the situation. And I know this is very unusual for a real estate investor. My houses were all cash purchases. They're all paid off. And I know that's unusual. They're not expensive houses. They're certainly not $280,000 or $450,000. But they're also by no means, you know, like the really bad D property Section 8s either. And we'll get into that as well. So that's where I sit today. I'm retiring August 1st, 2020, but who's counting? I am financially... I am financially independent. I believe I've probably been financially independent for, you know, probably for 3 or 4 years now.
Outstanding. Bro.
And, but I figured why not get that military pension? You know, why not have TRICARE for life, all that kind of stuff.
Why not? Right.
And, I think I'm going to kind of be like you guys, right? I'm just going to get out of the military and focus on real estate for the rest of my life. That's going to be something that's, you know, I mean, I've loved the military, but real estate is surprisingly something that I love even more than what I've done in the military. And I had an awesome job in the military. I was a special agent with OSI.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my story. I'm going to stop talking and let you ask.
Rich, that's awesome, man. And I want to ask you something, man. How does it feel being financially independent off of something that was a side hustle for you? Like, how does that feel?
You know, I think that when we were... You know, me and my wife, first of all, you know, I listened to the podcast that you have with your wife. I think her name is Cheyenne, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's awesome that you guys are a team. Me and my wife are like a serious real estate team. The funny thing is, like, we don't have like that many things in common, which is funny, but real estate is one of them. And that's like what seriously brings us together. And we've been on this journey, right? And it's so crucial. We've been on this journey since it started together. And for me, you're going to find, your audience will find as you sort of interview me, I'm different than your typical real estate investor. I'm a little bit more conservative, right? And I'm a little bit more focused on, let's make sure that we're, you know, financially sound. And I'm a very frugal person. And I was very big into like index fund investing and saving and all that kind of stuff. I had a goal from very, very early on, right? And I think it just comes from maybe growing up in a poor family. I'm not sure what's going to happen to me in the military. Maybe I won't get a retirement. Maybe they'll kick me out before I can retire. But I want to make sure that I have enough money when I do have to leave the military so that I can take care of myself for the rest of my life.
Mm.
I wanted that sense of security. I went in knowing that when I hit the 20-year point, whether I get a retirement or not, I needed enough money to take care of myself for the rest of my life. That was a goal I had from the start.
Right.
So I guess you could say that I had that goal from day one, and I think I achieved that earlier than I thought I would. It is a great feeling. But I think when you achieve something like that, I think the bar just keeps moving, right? Like,
right.
As you get closer to your goal, mm-hmm. and you meet people that have like loftier goals, your goal keeps like moving up. And what I believe is possible for me has kept sliding up as I've accomplished things. And so, you know, I'm not happy with where I'm at today, and I have a much loftier goals now of where I'd like to be in the future. And I think that's just human nature. It's nice to know that there's a huge amount of satisfaction with knowing that I don't have to work and we have enough money to take care of our family. And I want as many people in the military to be able to do that as well. And I know that's the mission of ADPI, and that's also my mission as well. So I'll stop with that.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. That is absolutely amazing. And thank you for sharing. I mean, it's so powerful, right? To see folks that have gone out there, set those goals, have achieved them. I mean, now, of course, like you said, you're going after bigger fish, but you know, you hit that mark where now you don't have to worry about it. When you get out, August 1st, 2020, but who's counting, right?
Yeah.
When you get out, man, that's it. Like, you step off, you take off that uniform. There's no worry. There's no doubt that you guys will be secure, as you said. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's off to the races, man. It's now you have all the time and the freedom to pursue those passions that you have now set for yourself.
Exactly. Yeah.
And you can just go and make it happen. And that's it's incredible, man. That's mm-hmm. gotta be an awesome feeling. And the fact that you and your wife are a really good team, that's amazing, man. That's another blessing right there. And I wish you guys best of success.
Thanks. Yeah. It's been an exciting journey. I think that and I think in the military, right, it's tough. And I think, of course, we're gonna get into this, but we have to figure out how to do long distance real estate investing in the military. We have to figure it out. We're never right. going to live in the same place long enough. And I spent the first, what I guess I would say 13 years of my career kind of like, I don't know what I'm doing, but I got to figure something out with real estate. I mean, I tried to flip new construction and I made a little bit of money doing that, but I almost lost a lot. Mm. I flipped houses from overseas with a partner. And it was very, it's a lot of work. It wasn't a lot of work for me because I was the one that was
right.
financing it. But I mean, there's no guarantee that you're going to make money, especially when you're not the one on the ground controlling, you know, kind of controlling the cost.
It's a lot of stress.
There was a lot of stress involved. And while I did make money, I didn't continue because I kind of thought, well, if I keep doing this, what if I start losing money? So figuring out what's going to work for a military, you know, family who's moving every 1 to 3 years as in real estate is not easy. And I think that what I've done has worked for me. So I'm lucky that I finally figured something out that can work with this crazy military life.
Yeah, man. What were some of the strategies that you used to help you do that long distance real estate thing? Like what did you decide that was working? And then how did you mm-hmm. kind of implement those strategies to succeed?
I think what's important in my case, and I think this is possible for lots of the military members out there is, we're going to live in different locations, right? I lived in DC and that's a high cost of living area.
Right.
You know, in the military, we end up living in what? San Diego, Honolulu.
Yeah,
we end up living in DC, and there's these like expensive places we end up living. Mm-hmm. I kind of figured out that maybe that isn't the best place, right? Maybe that's not the best place to buy 20 houses, you know?
Yeah.
Because they're not going to cash flow. The numbers aren't going to work. And so for me, I was building up a nest egg. I was saving money, putting money away. I had that one rental. In my case, though, I did something kind of strange. I actually paid that rental off. I paid it off in 7 years. Mm, so it was a paid off property, which kind of gave me the cash to move forward once I hit this huge opportunity in Montgomery. But But one of the strategies was I lived somewhere myself, right? And so I think the boots on the ground is important. I lived there and I realized this location's working out well. So I'm going to buy some properties while I'm here.
Right.
But I knew it was a good enough location where it's like when I leave, like let's say I leave and I move to, you know, I move to an expensive location. Well, I'm not going to buy a house in that expensive location. I'm going to keep buying houses here in Montgomery, Alabama, because that's where the money's going to be made.
Right.
So I was setting up the processes and the team that I would need to continue buying properties here in Montgomery, Alabama, once I inevitably moved away in 10 months. And I knew it was a 10-month assignment. So I was working with a management company while I was here, even though I didn't necessarily need one. But I wanted to sort of test drive it and start fine-tuning it and working with them closely and making sure I could trust them in the 10 months that I was there, so that when I left, I knew that they could do some heavy lifting for me once I was gone. I was doing that with a real estate agent. I was doing that with contractors. I was finding the best, the person who goes as an inspector, right? Who go and inspect my homes once I was gone. I was finding all the best people to do this stuff. Essentially, I was building a team that I knew could be my boots on the ground, because I wasn't going to have a trusted confidant or a family member that was still here.
Right.
I really had to build it from scratch. And I think that was the key to my success. And I think I'll add one more thing to this that I think is important. And it won't always be your property management company. But for me, you can't just buy property. Okay, I think I did on one or two properties, because in 2013 was a great year here. But typically, you cannot just go to the MLS, buy a property, have somebody move in, and it's going to cash flow well. That's just not going to work, right? You can't buy it market. You've got to buy dilapidated properties and then do value add. Hopefully that way you're buying cheaper and you're making more money that way. Well, who's going to oversee these large projects once you're gone? That's really tricky.
That's true.
In military circles, right? For us as military members, once we move away, who's going to oversee these projects? I worked it out, and this was not easy, so that my management company oversaw these big rehabs for me and then charged me a percentage of the fee, right, that the contractors were charging up to a cap. And then after that, they would get it rent ready and they took it on. And we went all the way from number 7 to That's number awesome. 20 that way.
Wow.
That was absolutely key in me establishing what I have today.
That's amazing. And what a relationship too, to build there. I mean, and trust, right? I mean, because they're taking a percentage of what you're paying out those contractors, and that's going to be, that's got to be quite the challenge to overcome there. But again, like we've said on this podcast before, real estate's a relationship game, guys. So if you're able to build those relationships, I mean, that's awesome. How did you find that property management company, if you mind me asking? Like, was it a Google search? Was it a referral?
Sure. And I, of course, the way I found it's not going to work for everybody. Well, I mean, obviously, if you hear boots on the ground, it's a lot easier. And I'll recommend some strategies that I didn't do. Mm-hmm. In fact, I believe I could have possibly done better. But what I did was you remember I ran into that guy, right? I ran into that guy on the first day of class.
Yeah.
He already had the property manager. That was a property manager he was using.
There you go.
He also had the real estate agent. Basically, he had a system that was working really, really well.
Right.
And I was like, well, okay, wait, who's your property manager?
Who are your contacts?
How much do they charge? Like, how do they handle evictions? Like, what, you know, and kind of all, he had all the answers and it all sounded good to me. And he was friends with them and they were like trustworthy. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how I did it. Now I'm at the point now where I'm potentially going to switch managing companies. Now they've done amazing things for me.
Right.
But I've realized now that I'm back and it's been like 5 years, I may switch.
You may switch.
What's made me realize that's possible is I've been going to the real estate and, you know, REIA meetings here, Real Estate Investors Association meetings here. Mm-hmm. And getting referrals from people and going to talk to other management companies and finding out, well, these are our fees and this is how many properties we own and this is how we work with investors and these are what our reports look like. And I'm finding out like, oh, okay, there's like a lot more options than I realized here, you know?
Right.
And I'm meeting other investors in these meetings, and they're kind of saying like, well, I think this is the best management company, and this is number two, and this is number three. The one I happen to be with is considered one of the best management companies in the city. I've been able to verify that from, you know, from meeting so many other investors in this city. But yeah, you've got the BiggerPockets forums. You've got the REIA group that you can go to in person. Mm-hmm. They've almost always got a Facebook group, which you'll be, you can always get on that group, even if you're trying to do something at a different location, right? You can get on that group and you can start asking questions about that location that you're curious about. So I think those are some of the strategies for finding a good property manager.
Right. No, that's great, man. And you know, the thing is that you can always do better, right?
Yeah.
You always can. But I love the fact that you pursued somebody, right, who kind of was a mentor to you at that time.
Yeah.
You asked them for their contacts. They had a system that was working and they had people that they trust. And that's kind of just how things go, guys. Yeah. I mean, you find and build a relationship with someone. You can ask for referrals. It literally is as easy as that just to get started. And then once you get things going, once the ball's rolling, just like Rich said, you know, you find better ways to do what and accomplish what you're doing, but you're already in the door. So now you're also talking to people with a whole lot more experience and it just, it goes better, man, but just get started.
I'll tell you something else that was interesting about the guy that ended up kind of helping me here, right? He was my first mentor, helped me get the first like two properties. His wife said something to me that I thought was very interesting because they had four when I met them. And I think they had six properties when I left. And I think they got up to 10 eventually. But she told me that so many people had, you know, she had told a lot of people about what she's doing. And so many people in the military are like, oh my God, like that's so awesome. I want to do what you're doing. You know, like that's so cool. Show me how. And she said, Rich, you are the only person who has ever said that to us who actually did it.
Wow.
And so what I guess my point is, you guys might meet people, right? You guys might meet people that are doing something like this. They might be very willing to help you and coach you along. You just got to ask.
Right. You have to ask, guys. It's literally it, man. It's literally it. I love that. Rich is so motivating, man. I'm excited. Can we talk about some of the challenges that you've faced? Maybe like one or two of the biggest hurdles that you had to overcome, how you did it, and just go for it, man.
I think I can talk first. The challenges that I think of are, I'll talk about buying my first property here.
Yeah.
While I had this person kind of acting as a mentor, I mean, he was just kind of like, you know, here's some people to work with, you know, here's some property management company. He wasn't like walking around with me and making phone calls with me and, you know, telling me exactly what to do. I mean, he was a busy guy and, to a large degree, I was still doing a lot on my own. But on the first property I bought, and we'll talk numbers a little bit. It's always fun to talk numbers.
Yeah.
It's called real estate porn, I guess. I bought this house and this is my, you know, I don't think it's my best buy because since I didn't know what I was doing, I spent way too much money on rehab. Way too much money.
Oh, man.
And I bought it for $30,000, okay? I think that's the cheapest house I ever bought. But I bought it for $30,000.
Nice.
It's probably also the more kind of older and dilapidated houses of all the ones I've bought.
Right.
Ended up putting $15,000 into it and ended up renting out, I think, for $750. And that was my kind of my first purchase.
Okay.
But when I went and bought it, it needed lots and lots of work. And I got an inspection done from an inspector that got recommended. Mm-hmm. And then I closed on the house. And lots of work needed to be done. And I kept calling different contractors. And I'm not handy at all. I can't do anything. Like I can barely change a light bulb. I can't get under a sink and like stop a leak or anything.
Right.
So this is very challenging for me. Trying to coordinate, get all these contractors to come out and bid all these jobs, right? And I think they can smell like how green I am and they're trying to take advantage of me. This is a sense that I'm getting.
Oh, no.
So one of the mistakes that I made was it had been a cat lady house and it had carpets. I tore all the carpets out and it had beautiful hardwood floors with horrible black stains everywhere from cat piss, right?
Oh.
So I'm like, can we salvage these floors? We probably could have salvaged those floors with like $300 or $400 with a good sanding.
Mm-hmm.
But I spent like $2,000. And by the time I was done, it looked like the governor's mansion, right?
So
I just didn't know what I was doing. I mean, I was just kind of, what should I do? Oh, you should probably re-wax all this. So I spent a fortune on that.
Mm-hmm.
I went to clear the trash in a bonus room that we had. And I was like, why is this trash in the middle of the floor? This is after closing. I clear the trash. And there's this kind of hump on the ground. And I'm like, what? So I get the trash out of the way. The ground is sticking up in the middle of the room, like almost 2 feet. There's just a huge hump in the middle of the room. And I'm like, what is this?
Oh, no.
They'd put a pile of trash in a place where something in the ground was pushing up through the floor, and it was coming up like 2 feet in the middle of the room.
Oh my goodness. What?
So I just bought, and the inspector didn't catch it. And I called the inspector and shoot him out. And he's like, screw you, you can't do anything about it. So I had a bad experience with that inspector.
Oh my goodness.
I was like, I can sue you. And he's like, go ahead, sue me, I'm leaving town. So, it wasn't a good deal there.
Jeez.
And I lost a lot of sleep over the next several weeks, having different people come in and tell me, it's going to cost $10,000 to fix. It's going to cost $15,000 to fix.
Right.
It's going to cost, just all these crazy numbers, all these contractors coming in. Finally, this one guy comes in, pulls up the carpet, grabs a sledgehammer, starts hammering away, pulls away some rocks. He sees a tree root and he's like, I'm going to charge you $1,500. I got to pull out this tree root. I got to re-pour some concrete. He's like, you'll be good. I'm just like,
all right.
But this is the challenges of doing real estate,
that's
right?
It.
These kind of things happen.
Hey guys, Kevin here. And I wanted to take a quick break from the show to fill you in on what's happening behind the scenes at Active Duty Passive Income. Most of you already know that ADPI is not just a podcast. We're a community of real estate and passive income warriors taking action, building wealth, and giving back together. That's why I'm so proud to announce the creation of ADPI's Financial Services Division. With a full range of tailored lending options, our team of pros is ready to provide active duty service members, veterans, and military families just like you all the advice and resources you need to close on your first or next investment opportunity. Click the link in this episode's show notes or simply text DEAL to 33777 to get connected today. Now, let's get back to the show.
When the house was done and I horribly overspent, I got 20 stories like that from this house. It sat vacant for a while. It just took a while to get rented out, right? It was probably 3 months. And I'm not really sure why. I haven't really had this problem at all over the last 5 years. But right. This one was sat vacant for like 3 months. And when the tenants moved in, they turned on the water in their house. It wasn't working. And it was actually, the water was running into the front yard from under the house. And they kind of, called me up like, something's wrong with the water. It's not working.
Oh,
sent
no.
the plumber out there. Apparently, somebody went under the house and stole all my copper, right?
Oh,
I don't know if you've heard of this happening.
Oh,
but,
my God, man. One of those.
That's like I think it was a $2,000 job, right? $2,000 job to have the whole house redone. Now that all the copper was gone from, it was a crawl space, this house.
Yeah.
So again, this is my first house, right? This is my first house. And my wife is like, geez, man, that was really tough. She's like, I guess this real estate investing isn't for us, is it? And I was like, God, that was tough. I'm like, you know what? I want to keep going though. I want to do this.
Dang.
I'm going to keep going. I'm going to buy another house. And she's like, really? She's like, you've been miserable over the last like 2 months. And I'm like, I don't care.
Persevere.
I'm going to do it. Not only did I go out and buy another one, but I bought two more on the same day.
Woo! All right.
One of them, and it was the second one was $45,000. It was move-in ready. I didn't even have to vacuum, and it rented for $900 a month.
All right.
So those were awesome deals.
Yeah.
I got about six of those before I left, and then after I left Montgomery, prices kind of kept creeping up, and it became harder and harder to get good deals.
Yeah.
And actually, I haven't bought anything in the past probably two and a half years.
Okay.
And I'm sitting on a good chunk of change, looking at my future, which is trying to get into multifamily real estate, which I know you guys at ADPI know something about. But that's my goal now. So that was one of my challenge stories and sort of how I physically and mentally overcame it.
That's awesome, man. I love it. Absolutely love it. And honestly, I mean, really not that bad of a deal in that first one. I mean, when it comes down to it, right? You still hit that 1% rule.
Yeah, I did.
Which, you know, which for those of you, if this is your first time listening, well, the 1% rule is you are renting out for above 1% of the purchase price, right? Or your all in cost, right? As well. Yeah, so for you, it was $30,000 plus the $15,000 in rehab, $45,000, but you're still renting for $750 a month. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. So,
yeah.
Awesome, man. Well, hey, you know, I love how you persevered from that. I mean, crazy story, and how the ad inspector just missed something in the middle of the room is, you know, it happens though, guys. It happens.
Yeah. I don't think you really cared. I mean, obviously I didn't use him again.
Yeah. Right.
Found a better inspector. Yeah. I needed a better person to handle this once I was gone. So if you don't mind, I want to talk a little bit. And if you want me to steer it for a second about kind of once I was overseas, because a lot of people have asked me, like, how are you buying houses that you've never seen, right? Because I bought 14 that I'd never seen before. And I think this can be helpful to explain to people. Let's say you're out of state or you're out of the country, like I was in my case. How I used my team to vet a property from overseas. I kind of just want to be able to explain this.
Go for it.
Real quick. So I used my team. I used a real estate agent and then the property manager and then the inspector. And I'll kind of talk about how that goes. So I'm making lowball offers all the time, right? On the MLS from overseas.
Nice.
And a lot of times it's short sales, which is more complicated. A lot of times it's like auction stuff, which you got to go online and you got to get onto a website, do some crazy stuff. I did whatever it took. I was making lots and lots of offers. I had a real estate friendly and real estate agent who's willing to make these offers. And that is key. You've got to find someone like that, because most real estate agents will think you're crazy and not want to waste their time on you.
That's true.
So once in a great while, somebody will answer back, like, you offer $25,000 for a house. Instead of ignoring you, they say, well, we're not going to take that, but like, how about $40,000? Then you know you got a chance, right? Then I'd be like, okay, hold on a second. At this point, no one's ever been to look at the house, because we're just making offers without even going to the houses, because we're not wasting our time. Then my real estate agent goes and looks at it and takes a bunch of pictures and sends it to me. Then if I'm interested, and I do like some online research on the house, if I'm interested, I start a little bidding war. Well, no, I'm not going to pay that much. You know, I'll pay $30,000. And then they'll come back like, no, and maybe they'll come down a few more $1,000. If it looks like things are still good with this property, my real estate agent, she'll sell me any house in the world because she just wants to make a commission. I need someone a little more objective to help me pick the right house. Then I send my property manager over there, right? My property manager, they own like 400 houses in the area where all of my houses are. So they really understand the neighborhoods very, very well. Not just which neighborhoods are good, but which streets in the neighborhood are good. Sometimes they like some streets and they don't like other streets. Awesome. Another thing about this property manager is sometimes they like certain floor plans and they don't like other floor plans.
Oh, wow.
They're kind of like, you know, tenants really hate places like this, or they hate small bedrooms, or like, this kitchen's horrible. Or like, when I walked up the stairs, I hit my head because there's like a low ceiling. There'd be all these things that they would catch that I would pay attention to. I wanted to pick the houses that would be easy for them to rent out. I also only did 3-bedroom, 2-baths because 3-bedroom, 1-baths were a lot less popular. So I always did 3-bedroom, 2-baths. And that was just kind of the relationship with me and my property manager. They had sort of a veto right on what I picked. And I wanted that because I want the best houses in those neighborhoods. Right?
Yeah, smart.
So a lot of times I would have a house under contract. And in some cases, they would say, no, don't get this. And sometimes it'd even be structural. It would be, don't get this. There's an add-on room. They didn't do a good job on the add-on room. So I don't like this house. And I'd be like, darn it. I'd back out of deals and I lose a deposit in some cases. Just because they told me this isn't going to be a good property for you. So, by the way, the real estate agent takes a bunch of pictures. Then the property manager takes a bunch of pictures for me. Then it's under contract. Then my inspector goes in. Now, the inspector works for me. Now, you guys think about when you get a loan, they make an inspector go there and take a bunch of pictures and do a report. That person does not work for you. That person works for the bank.
Right.
They care about the loan and protecting the bank. I'm paying an inspector to work for me, and they're inspecting the property in the way that I want it inspected, so that I know that it's going to last for me long term, right? And so they'll concentrate on the things that I care about. So I get inspected, and that's another bunch of pictures. I've had three people take a bunch of pictures and send it to me, and one of them is a detailed report from a professional. Right. So yeah, I've never been there myself, but I know a lot about this house. And that's how I buy my houses. That's how I did it.
I love it, man. I absolutely love it. Using that team and all the resources available to you. I mean, one of the awesome benefits, like you mentioned about buying cash, is you have your team that works for you, right? I mean, that inspector is not inspecting it for the bank because it's your money that's on the line.
Right.
So, yeah.
I could offer too that, you know, I mean, it's a little extra money, but it's a lot of peace of mind. You can get two inspections. You can still get an inspection for yourself, even though there's one that works for the bank.
That is true. That's also true.
It's just, in my case, they costed around, I think, $300.
Yeah, that's about standard.
I think the more expensive city could cost more and, you know, kind of small town, cheaper. But that's about what I've been paying here.
Yeah, for sure. But I mean, it's awesome though. And you get that perspective that is tailored to you, right? And your needs. Yeah. So definitely something that, that people.
I cared a lot about water damage, right? I cared, like, I did. Like, I care about, like,
it's smart.
Copper, make sure that there's no termite damage, make sure that there's no water damage, right? I worry a lot about, like, when it rains really hard, how properties, how water is going to run through this property. Is it going to pool up and affect certain areas?
Right.
I'm curious if they've hidden certain damage by the way they've repaired the roof or repaired walls. So I just and my manager and my inspector knew that, right? And so they kind of knew what to look for.
Right. Dude, that's awesome, man. I love it. Absolutely love it, man. Listen, we're running out of time, but Rich, you've offered so much value. I want to give you a little time to just kind of promote, like, what's going on in your life? Like, what are you working on next, man?
So for me, you know, my kind of passion project is, my small little fledgling website, it's richonmoney.com. And that's just where I talk about, I talk a lot about finances. I used to be a stockbroker, but I talk about, like, TSP, I talk about saving and investing, and I talk about what I do with real estate. It's just richonmoney.com.
Love it.
And then for me in the future, you know, I want to buy a multifamily. That's why you saw me at that conference.
That's it, man.
I know that you guys do some syndication stuff. I think that what I'm going to do first, and again, everybody's situation is different. For me, I'm planning on buying a small multifamily on my own, and maybe like between 10 and 30 units, managing it myself, you know, kind of do the whole, you know, value add, rehab it, refinance it, and then possibly move on to larger properties where I'd start partnering up with people. I kind of want to gain that knowledge.
And, that makes sense.
Yeah. In a sort of stair-stepping way. And as people kind of realize from my story, my approach to real estate investing is a little more,
conservative
than most. Yeah,
for sure. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Real estate is for everybody, guys. For conservative folks that want to, you know, stair step it to success, the folks that want to just try and skyrocket and go straight, like, hey, let's just make it happen. Trust me, you end up failing a lot more along the way, but you learn, right?
Yeah.
That's definitely more me, but hey, you know, it's all good. It's for everyone. It's not one size fits all, and it's magical. It's absolutely magical. Yeah, as Rich has attested to it, once you hit that financial freedom, guys, like, it comes full circle, and it makes it feel so worth it. I'm sure of it. I'm not there yet, but I'm getting there, buddy. I'm right behind you. So.
Oh man, you're in the right place. You'll be there.
That's it, man. Rich, thank you so much for your time. I'm going to take you into the bonus round. You've added so much value to the show already. My first question, what is your favorite book?
Favorite book? I think I have one that probably doesn't come up much. Have you heard of Nassim Taleb?
Oh, yes, I have.
It's like Black Swan and Unbroken.
Yeah.
This book is called Fooled by Randomness. I don't know if anybody else
heard of that.
You know, I know I get asked, like, I'm like plugging the book, like it's mine or something. but anyway, Fooled by Randomness by Nassim Taleb. It is a book about chance. I guess you could say chance or randomness and the role that it plays in our lives. And I think of it as more of a financial book. When you read a book like this, I think it gives you a much better understanding of what's going on, like on Wall Street. What's going on with like the people that are kind of telling you like, oh, like I'm good at picking stocks, you know, or kind of maybe day traders, right?
Right.
Or the places that are kind of like, if you subscribe to this newsletter, we'll help you, you know, pick the right stocks when they're going to take off and when they're, you know, it kind of talks about that type of stuff. But it's not just that, it's many aspects of life. It's the role of chance and how it's vastly misunderstood in our lives and the role that it plays in our lives. And I highly recommend this book. It is going to elevate your level of understanding money.
Love it. Love it, guys. All right. There'll be a link to that in the show notes page. Make sure you guys check it out. Question number two, who is your biggest hero and why?
My biggest hero is my grandmother. It's a real estate story.
Nice.
It's the reason that I'm in real estate. She has a really cool, I guess you could say she has a house hacking story. Nice. My grandmother was, her husband left, I think, when my mom was about 8 years old. And so my grandmother raised four kids on her own. And this is kind of around LA area. My grandma actually grew up in Watts. And if you guys know Los Angeles, Watts is not like a nice area. It's a rough area.
Right.
And she was working at like an insurance company kind of in a part of LA. It was kind of near Glendale, just kind of downtown LA. And she was going to have to relocate for her new job. And somebody gave her some advice. She said, you know, maybe you should buy like a four-unit property, and you could live in one of them and like rent the other three out. Now, Grant, this is a long, long time ago, you guys. And I'm not talking about a podcast like, you know, a couple of years ago.
Right.
This is a long time ago. But she was a single woman, raising four kids on her own on a very low salary. But she was a very brave woman. And actually, she was taking care of her dad. Her dad was living with her. Her dad told her, you know, it's not a woman's place to do something like this. A woman doesn't need to be buying a house or trying to do this kind of thing. And she had a lot of friends that told her, like, you know, I don't think you should do that. It doesn't make sense. You're probably trying to do something you're not ready for. And that just gave her more resolve. And she did it. She bought that fourplex. And I can tell you that fourplex, which has been paid off for God knows how long, 40 years, has been her financial salvation her entire life. It has allowed her to help friends, help family, live the way she wants to live, be able to donate money, and it is allowing her to give a substantial inheritance to her children. And I just always admired her for her aggressiveness and her bravery and being able to do that under those circumstances.
That's incredible, man. What an awesome story with an awesome woman. Wow. That's epic, man. And yeah. And that one investment, how it's able to ripple and benefit generations down the line. Hoo-yah, dude. That's what's up. All right. Question number three, what do you like to do for fun?
Ooh, let's see. I'm a runner, so I love going out and running. I'm a traveler. I love traveling. Retiring from the military, you know, makes me a little bit nervous because I love the ability of you keep living in different places. And I made it a point to live overseas a lot. And I always had lots of TDYs to lots of cool places. I think lucky I'll be able to continue traveling.
Good.
And I'm going to use real estate as a vehicle to allow myself and my family to be able to do that. It's important to me. But travel is a big one. I love coffee and I love trying different coffee shops. And it's not just a question of loving coffee, but I love trying it in different parts of the world.
That's awesome,
there's not very many choices here in Montgomery, so I need to travel. I need to travel again soon.
Definitely need to travel. Maybe head up to Seattle or something.
Yep.
But all right. Cool, man. Yeah, real estate will definitely be able to do that for you. So that's good. That's good stuff. All right. So question number four, last one.
Yeah.
What three nuggets of wisdom could you leave for those who are just getting started in their journey?
All right. I'm speaking to military members, and that's what I love about you guys' podcast. I've been so excited about coming on this podcast just because knowing that I can reach this many military members is awesome. And I'd want to say, and again, this is the Rich Carey philosophy on real estate, right? I do not buy a house in the military unless it's going to make me money as a rental property when I move away. Okay. I think that is a really good rule to have. Yep. And I can tell you something, and I'm in a nice house right now and I'm renting it. Even though I own 20 houses in this city, I'm renting the house that I'm in right now.
Nice.
Because it's in a gated community and it's got, you know, good school district. And, mm-hmm. And guess what? If you buy this house, you can't rent it out when you leave. You're going to have a crappy return on investment, and it's just not going to work. The numbers makes don't sense. Work. So that is, I don't buy a house unless it's going to make money as a rental property. I make sure I look at the numbers. Number two, appreciation. I want people to understand the appreciation myth. That's what I call it. I always buy for cash flow, and guess what? You have to in Montgomery. I don't know if there'll ever be any appreciation here. So I buy for cash flow. And with that attitude, I think I'm able to make real estate work in almost any market in the world that isn't already overpriced, which actually leaves a lot out these days. But in any place in the world that isn't already overpriced, as long as you really understand that market. The appreciation myth is, okay, in the military, you move to Honolulu and somebody's like, dude, I just bought a house in Honolulu and it went up $200,000 in the last 3 years. You got to buy one, man. You're going to make a fortune. I don't buy into this. This is not a good idea, in my opinion. Don't chase that kind of appreciation. I can tell you from looking at the Honolulu situation, long-term, I have a friend, Doug Nordman. I imagine you guys will probably have him on your podcast sometime soon. Doug Nordman owns two properties in Hawaii. And he's owned them for like 30 years. And I've done the math with him. He's made between 3-4% a year on appreciation. Okay. So there's nothing crazy there. There's no 15-20. I mean, there are years where it goes up 15-20%.
Right.
There are also years where it drops. There are also 5 and 10 year periods where it's flat.
Yep.
Let me give you one last tidbit on this. My house in DC, I bought it for $280,000. A year and a half later, it was worth $450,000. I just realized that I was the best investor in the world and that I was just going to keep doing this for the rest of my career and retire a billionaire. But guess what? That didn't happen every year and a half for the rest of my career.
No.
In fact, that house, I sold it in 2016 for $400,000. Okay. And this is in Alexandria, Virginia. This is a nice area.
Yeah.
The math on that, 3%. I made 3% a year on appreciation. But all of it happened in like 2 years. So that's a lesson I like to give to people is you can try to chase the appreciation if you want. I think it kind of comes back to this book, Fooled by Randomness. There's a lot of randomness in appreciation. I invest for cash flow. That's my three tidbits.
I love it. Absolutely love it, guys. Rich Carey here. Man, this is amazing. Thank you so much for the value that you added on the show, dude. I know that you just inspired a lot of veterans. So I am inspired by it as well, inspired by your story. And I wish you best of success, man. How can our folks get in touch with you?
Oh, okay. So I think I kind of plugged myself earlier, didn't I?
But, yeah, it's okay. No worries. All
it's
good.
I have a blog. It's called richonmoney.com. Mm-hmm. Reach me there. If some of you'd like to send me an email, richcarey@gmail.com, shoot me an email, ask me some questions. I'd be happy to answer those. I just wrote a post that I think is very relevant. It's called Long Distance Real Estate Investing. I'd take a look at that one.
Love it.
Because I wrote it for this audience. I wrote it for this ADPI audience. I think that it's something that's tough to do for us.
I love it. I love it. All right, guys. We'll make sure that you guys go check that out. There'll be links to all those in the show notes page and how you can get in touch with Rich. And hoo-yah, man. Thanks again so much. It was great having you.
Yeah, that was fun. Thanks a lot. That was awesome.
All right. Outstanding. That was an awesome episode. Thanks so much to our special guest and thanks to you for listening. If you haven't hit the subscribe button yet, make sure you go and do that.
or schedule a call with us by texting ADPI to 444-999 or checking out our website at www.activedutypassiveincome.com to find out how you can get started on your financial freedom journey today. I'll see you guys next week.